finish on time today, right? So I just wanted to take 1 minute to put some seder on what we saw in the last Chaburah. Sometimes in the shirim, I have a tendency to emphasize the differences more than the common agreement. But if you look back at the two elbows that we've seen until now, despite the variations in the machlokim, there's a common mechayev that emerges for each av. So I think we're pretty much in agreement that for Keren, the mechayev is somewhere between Darko Lahazik and Maisa Mishuna. The Gemara emphasized both of those. In the beginning of the parak, it emphasizes Darko Lahazik. On Daf Yates and Daf Chaf, the Gemara emphasizes Mishuna. I think the resolution to that tension is that those two things overlap greatly. There's a lot of overlap between the case where the animal has intent to harm and it acts strangely, especially under the assumption that an animal only acts strangely when it has some peculiar kavana. And so yes, there are machloksim about in a case where you have maisa mishuna without kavana lahazik, or a case where you have kavana lahazik without a maisa mishuna, like the case of the lion and the snake. But the emerging pictures at the mechayim of Keren is that the animal does some sort of strange aggressive act. That's the mechayim. Now that mechayim seems to explain the basic dinim of Keren. It explains why you're only chayev half the value for a short time. Because it was a strange act, it was unforeseeable by the owner, he gets a discount. And if you hold Palka Niska Knasa, that means he doesn't have to pay anything in principle. So really he's off the hook. It also might explain why you're chayev versus a rabbin. Why would this theory explain why you're chayev versus a rabbin? Because the nizak could not have foreseen the strange action of your animal. So the reason why, in general, we'll see this soon, there's a patur b'rishis harabim, is because a nizak knows not to leave fruits around. He knows that animals will trample as they walk around. But he cannot be expected to know when and how your animal will act strangely. So both unique dinim of keren, the din chatzi nezek for a tam, and the chiv b'rishis harabim, seem to be related to the mechayev of Maisa Mishuna.
People say that.
What?
People say that for Sarabin.
Yeah, what?
That we wire five from Sarabin for Karen, because we need to couldn't possibly do that. Wasn't
you can infer it from the reason why they say that the Nizak, why the Mazak is Putter versus Sarabin for Shane and Rego. We'll see that, we'll come back to that in a second. But I think that works out very nicely to explain, and it also explains why for a Muad you're chayev. You're chayev for a muad because nezek shalem, because then it was foreseeable, or the fact that this animal acts strangely is sufficient grounds that it's foreseeable to you that you shouldn't allow him to go out and nurse a sarab.
Like your
brother.
Well,
no, because it's not necessarily foreseeable to a visa that you're okay. If you have a sign on it that says muad. Right, but assuming that a nizak doesn't know whose animal is a muad, only the violin really knows that, then you can understand why the chiyuv, the chatzim nezek of tam, gets bumped up to nezek shalem for a muad. Now, just one last comment for Nizke Kerem. Remember, we saw that this relates again to its chayiv. We saw that there's a tour for kol ha'mishane lo acher b'shina lo pater. Right, that was this discussion over here. Right, if the nizak acts strangely, then the mazik can't be held chayiv. So I think it's pretty clear that's going to be limited to cases of keren. That patur is limited to keren. Because the mechayiv of keren is a maisa mishuna, when you take a narrow view of the actions of the mazik against the actions of the nizak, if the mazik's action is no longer considered mishuna, then there's no grounds to be mechayiv. And if relative to the actions of both parties, there's nothing strange, there's nothing aberrant about the maisa of the mazik, and there's no grounds to machayev on a maisa mishuna. But clearly this would only apply to keren. It wouldn't apply to Shane Berega.
Why? Why would it be applied to that?
Because the mechayev of the grounds for holding somebody liable in Karen is that he acted strangely. In a case where there's nothing strange about the mazik's behavior relative to the nizak's, there's no mechayev. There's no strange act.
This is the assumption being that's like a normal reaction now.
What?
The assumption being that once the nizak doesn't go strange action, then that's a normal reaction.
Yeah, I don't know if you're saying normal, but that relative to the peculiar action of the nizak, there's nothing left over peculiar about the actions of the mazik. Right? So between the actions of the two parties, there's nothing aberrant. How exactly you quantify that was not always we saw between our papa and rabbi. Right? If one stops, if the other one has just to kick him or just the right to trample him?
And limited to Karen?
Yeah. So far it seems like it's limited to Karen. Exactly. This p'tur of Kol HaBava, Kol HaMishana, Vahakim HaShinbo seems to be limited to Karen. Yeah, no question. Now I'm pretty getting much more confidence that it's after seeing the cases of derivative and cases of shame, I'm pretty confident that this is related to Karen. Because there's one application of the Gemara, which is a Shane related case, but it's a case of shame that's Machai the Torah's Karen. It's a case where the animal eats something in a strange way, which we saw last time was fear of Karen explicitly. Everyone with me? So there is a clear picture that emerges for Karen. Within shame, so we also have a pretty clear picture that emerges. Definitely the Gemara emphasizes Hanal. Yesh Hanal with Hezeka. But Yakir made a point after the Chabura yesterday, and I think this is what Yoni was getting at in the Chabura as well. It's a very good point. So it might be a tautology to say that Yakir made a good point. But it's a really good point. And he was arguing, so we saw in the Chabura that there's a tension in the Mechayiv of shame. Is the emphasis really on Hana, or is on the emphasis on the fact that it acted normally in its pursuit of Hana? Right? It was Orche, it was the animal's normal behavior in pursuing the pleasure that it was seeking. And so we saw a tension between different dinim. So for example, we saw the discussion, I had a few more corals here, so I'm just going to read the discussion very briefly. There's a discussion in the Aruch HaShulchan. Remember the case where the animal breaks the basket in trying to consume the bread? So is it a case where it was licking the basket, getting Hana to lick out the dough? Is it a case where it just broke the basket on its way towards the bread? Aruch HaShulchan's case, anytime an animal destroys something, even as it's moving through your house to find the food, that's included under shame. We had this machlokas with Noah's read versus the other readings.
Correct.
Well,
so the incorrect reading.
The incorrect reading would suggest, or the non-Noah reading would suggest, that you really don't need Hanah at all. Right? It's really just the animal not acting normally in its pursuit of Hanah, which is the characteristic of shame. Another case where you see this tension is in the case where the animal gets Hanah. This is a new case that I added for today. The animal gets Hanah, but it doesn't get Hanah from the thing that is mazik at all. So, remember one case of the tolda is tinfa peros lahanasa. Right, it dirties fruits for its own hana. So the machlokas rishonim, what case is that? Most rishonim say it's a case where the animal lies down in mud and dirties these fruits. It's like rubbing itself against the fruits to cool off or something, gets them dirty. And so it destroys them in its act of getting hana. That's how most rishonim understand the case. Rabbi Chanan has a very different interpretation. Tinfa peros lahanasa. So he says it's a case where the animal relieved it. It's a case where the animal relieved itself on the peros. Pirish, ilulei she asasa tzurachecha, haisa v'sa'aretz. Had the animal not relieved itself, it would have been a pain. V'icha chayim v'nei shemetz. This gets us into a very deep question in John Stuart Mill's hedonism, whether the absence of pain is itself a pleasure. I think it's Yerbeinu Hanan now was preempted John Stuart Mill on this, where he says, because Lule shall also throw a fellow mixed with Cyrus, it would have been a pain. Feel outside of nation animals. You see, like, the animal avoiding the painful situation is considered hana. I think that's a Kiddush. It's a Kiddush in our sugi, minus that you need positive hana. But one other Kiddush in our hana is that the animal is not benefiting from destroying the fruits. It just relieved itself, and the fruits happened to have been in the wrong place. So you have to, your chayiv mishum shame. So this is Tosfos Shas's objection to Rabbeinu Hananel. He says, what's the case of Tinfa Peros? So what's the case of Tinfa Peros, Isaac? What does Tosfos Shas say?
Probably against it.
What?
I'm going to guess we're probably against it.
Yeah. And what's his reason? Why does he disagree with Rabbeinu Hananel?
Probably because of what you just said.
Well?
Probably because of what you just said.
Meaning what?
That he didn't get benefit from the fruit, which is coincidentally or incidentally.
Exactly. The Ezo Hana Asulaha Peros. Misha Im Lo Hayusha. What Hana did it derive from the fruits? So the implication here, the Mahokas here, whether the animal just had to have been doing something for its pleasure at the time that it was mazik, or whether it derived pleasure from the thing it was mazik. Very parallel to the two versions of the Aruch HaShulchan and that debate earlier. So why is this important for our discussion? Because you can make the argument, and this is what Yakir was suggesting, is that you see from this Rabbeinu Hananel version that the mechayiv is not hana. The mechayiv is that the animal was doing one of its normal activities. And just the background assumption that frames this whole debate is, look, animals could do one of two things. They could either act normally, or they could act strangely. And Chazal assume when animals either act with intention or without intention. When they act with intention, they're either acting with kavana lahazik, or they're acting in the pursuit of their pleasure. When they act in the pursuit of their pleasure, that's morkayu, that's a normal behavior for the animal. And so it's very similar to regel. Regel is just morkayu, the way animals walk unintentionally down the road when you lead them. And hana is orkayu, the animal's pursuit of its pleasure. The result is two things. A, the mechayiv is not hana. Hana is just a hechetimsi for defining normal behaviors of animals. Animals are hedonists. They pursue pleasure normally. And secondly, it means that the mechayiv of shein and regel are really one mechayiv. They're both mechayivim of orchayiv. Just regel is orchayiv, the normal behavior when it walks. And hana is its normal behavior when it seeks pleasure. I think that's what would emerge. Now, the other camp, okay, just to reinforce that a little further, that explains why you don't need hana in every case. It also explains, remember this discussion of the paths, why by default, if we have to choose between a case, if a case falls under a description of both shame and a description of kerem, remember the case of the animal is rubbing against the wall or rubbing against its friend, it's scratching its back against it. So, do we assume that the animal is going for its hana, or that it's kavana lahasik? And we can't ask the animal, right? So the Taz said, you assume that it's going for its hana, because that's meaning to work on. So you see, the Taz assumes that the category is really characterized by work. That's why in a clash, when you have to decide between a description of Shane or a description of Karen, you opt for Shane. Not because there's anything special about Hana, but because the category is characterized by normalcy, regular activities. And so the reason why it's associated with Hana is because animals are hedonists. They're always just pursuing pleasure.
According to that understanding, then...
Other, that also explains a bit of Hana, why... absence of tsar, the animal trying to prevent tsar, constitutes hana for the sake of shame. Because there's nothing privileged about hana per se. What we really care about is the animal's acting normally.
Okay. Yeah, and it's a Queen's Down understanding is how we understand Sosco's deciding that Red Yale is okay and Shane's not.
Does Sosco say that? Does Sosco say that explicitly that?
He doesn't explicitly say that it's not. He says immediately the word higher than Schelling, Nezik Schelling, and that the Bechatz are in the Zach Bobbish. They're not having buzzer to have a Shane. Shane is your rabbi.
Shane. Right. Is he characterizing Shane as a Raphael, though?
He doesn't explicitly say it.
I thought he does, no?
In fact, the appeal of this approach is that it shows why Shane and Regal have the exact same data.
Why are Shane and Regal the same things?
It's manifest differently.
Same thing. It's how they understand.
Right, it's the same mechanism.
Exactly.
That's why in almost every halacha, Shane and Regal are not differentiated.
I was like, why are they
just separate? Yeah, right, that's a big question. Why do they deserve a separate? Why do they classify as two separate avos?
Yeah. And your explanation, your original explanation, I don't know.
Yes. Great.
Right.
So it depends. Well,
also that falls into neither the risk or up nor the classification in terms of seeing it as first the categories or a general type or having that two share one. The
right.
And two no.
That means because then it means that the machai is a description. Rather than like some like feature of Makai. So you're right. So the other view, yeah, so I'm not saying that this is everyone's view, obviously. I think this is one way you can understand Shane. The other way to understand Shane is know that Makai is the actual Hana itself. That's why you disagree with Rabbeinu Chananel. That's why you disagree with Aruch HaShulchan's Chiddush. According to that approach, you would also say that the animal. That the Hashlumei Hanav or Shus HaRabi, when you're Pater from Shane, are a derivative of the Mechayiv of Shane. Because the Mechayiv in the category of Shane is the fact that you benefited. And to put a little more meat on this theory, the idea is that Shane itself is not a typical category of Nezikim, where the penalty is really for the damages. It's a Nezikim category that borders on Gneva, where you actually benefit from the damage that you incurred. And then, under that description, that category of shame, where the Mechayiv is a quasi-Geneva, where you benefit through stealing, through taking away someone's property, there are two ways we can hold you liable. In some cases, we hold you liable for the restitution interest, for how much you are Mechaser, the Bayat Nizak. And in cases where we don't do that, we can hold you liable for the benefit interest, for how much benefit you receive. That assumes that the Mechayiv is Hana. So it's a Nezikin category that borders on Kedavah. That itself is not problematic. Remember, we know that in the lists of Rebchi and Avoshia, we have even Tashlumi Kefil and Dala Behei as categories of Nezikin. So that itself shouldn't be a problem. And then you just say that, yeah, Hanah can break down either into a restitution compensation, like Rishus and Nizak, or into interest compensation, benefit compensation in Rishus and Rabbi. Is that clear to everyone? Yes? Okay. Now again, so going back, one of the appeals of the... as Isaac points out, one of the appeals of the Hana explanation of shame is that you can explain why shame and regal are two separate others. Because they're two separate mechayim. One of the drawbacks of the theory is that it seems almost strange that we should have two separate avos that have the same dinim. It's almost impossible to differentiate the dinim of Shane and Rega. Right? So it's either way, it's strange to have two categories that overlap almost perfectly in their dinim. But insofar as you think that each av should have its own mechayiv, then you can understand if Hanav is a mechayiv, you can understand why Shane is. Okay, just to wrap up the discussion of Shane, so you can understand on the Or Chayu view, on the view that the Mechayiv is the animal acting normally, you can understand both why you're Chayiv Nezek Shalem from the get-go, and you can understand why you're Pater versus Arabu. Why you Chayiv Nezek Shalem from the get-go? Donnie? What do you say?
The Nizak has sued, what's it called?
Well, not the NESA.
I'm sorry. Yeah, the MOSIC. The MOSIC should, assume what the animal is doing.
Exactly. It's foreseeable. The MOSIC knows that his animal is going to act normally. So, Vadi is chayv nezek shalem from the beginning. Your putter versus a rabbin, because every NESA knows that every animal is going to act normally and eat food that's there. So when we emerge, if our chayu is the mechayiv, so you have a very nice explanation for the special dinim of shame and how they parallel the special dinim of kerem. Right?
I mean, the other was also fine for that.
What's that?
I don't know, but it was also fine for that. No.
So why? But it's only on the assumption that Hana is
buying your nether shawl from the get-go because, I don't know, you can't find a cave from the get-go. I mean, right? I mean, like,
no, you might say you should be chayim only kifim ha-shenen. To the extent that the benefit is the mechayiv.
Right. When you steal something, you're not chayiv, like, however it's worth to you, you're chayiv however it's the market.
Yes, you could explain the dinim, but you can't explain the symmetry to Kerem. Right? On the Archaic view, you have like this nice symmetry. Right? The dinim of shame, the normalcy of shame, mirrors the peculiarity of Kerem. On the Hana view, structurally, you have to have a separate mechayiv for nezek shalem of shame. But you're right, the Peturim will overlap.
So mechayiv of Karen and shame are parallel, and the Peturim and mechayiv, and then the view and the Peturim are going to be parallel, so that's basically your confidence.
Right, okay. Correct. I'm saying, the question is, do you prefer symmetry? Do you assume that there's some symmetry between the mechayiv and the Peturim of the different elements? Well,
as English lesbians.
Why?
I don't know if they prefer symmetry.
Okay, so it's not just an aesthetic preference. The reason why I think it's important is because going back to the Brisker Rub's pshat, the question is, do you assume common mechayvin and common pturim across all four avos nezikin? So on the symmetry here, you have a common mechayv and common ptur across the different avos. On the hanav pshat, you don't have common mechayiv and common pturim. You have a separate mechayiv for each av, right? You have a mechayiv of foreseeability for keren, and then a mechayiv of gneva for shame. So it's not just an aesthetic consideration. I think it's really the background question as to the significance of the arba avos. Okay.
But you're saying that the archayiv pshat works better for Brisker Rav?
I think the archayiv pshat works worse for the Brisker Rav. Because then the special Peturim, I guess in your case so far, the Peturim are still symmetrical.
The Peturim are symmetrical, and also the other side in change that the Chayiv is so radically different from the Chayiv and Karen. Right? The Brisker Rav and the Chayiv of all four nezikin is literally the exact same thing. If anything, the symmetrical shot allows
you. You're right. On the Mechayiv side, the symmetry works out well for the Brisker Rav. The question is if on the Patur side it will work out for the Brisker Rav. Right? Yeah. Let me just mention one other Makor that takes a stand on this.
Hey, Murphy, can you have perhaps a slightly in between Jito from Archai Hana? Just that, like, the pursuit of Hana is like what the Archai is. It's not like it's non Archai, the fact that it's currently pursuing Hana.
Yeah, I think that would be a Hana based Machai.
Right, but I'm saying that it also accounts for the fact that you don't need to actually get
Hanukkah. Right, that's the way we were trying to interpret. Well,
that's like the Arif HaShulchan.
Right, but the question is how do we interpret the Arif HaShulchan? Is the Arif HaShulchan saying that Hanukkah is not really important? It's just a surrogate for Orchayu? Or is the Mechayu still Hanukkah, but it's Hanukkah called the Mistoyefle? Then you go back into those reports and you give a diet. Are they trying to say that the animal gets Hanukkah from its pursuit of Hanukkah, or is it trying to say that it's Orchayu because it's pursuing Hanukkah? And you'll notice there are different formulations. I don't view that as an in-between shot. I view that as a Hanab shot, just
just extending the definition of Hana. Right? You'll see if you notice at the Mufarshim on the Mechaber also they said the animal gets Hana from breaking the basket to get to the bread. Right? So they're just, it's, I think that's a clear Hana shot. Tony, you okay? Or?
Wonderful, yeah.
Okay.
Marveling in your explanation.
What?
Marveling in your explanation.
Okay. Good.
So let me just draw your attention to one other thing that we mentioned last Chaburah that may take a stand on this question. So the Meiri, you'll recall, quoted two deos about lemaskana, whether you need mechalia or karma. You need the animal to actually consume the hana of shame, right? So Meiri said that three pashtas of the Gemara and Dafkimel, you don't need the animal to consume it. Maybe that's also the Gemara later on. That was the Yesh Cholkin, but I'll be eating on too much to get the animal to consume it. Then the Meiri quoted this third shita, there's Shara, that you're chayav for shame if either of two conditions obtain. Either you sent the animal, and it wasn't made for the carrot, or you didn't send the animal went on its own, but it consumed the carrot. So how do you make sense of that derech b'shara? Why should you have a disjunct, why should you have a mechayiv that is satisfied by either shimucho or by kili hakeret?
I don't have a conceptual answer to this, but when I was reading the Meiri, it made it seem like this was a different shot to be Gemara and not Gimel. That was how the disposition was reading the Gemara on.
Right. Yeah. Well, no, I think he's just saying it's not. Everyone agrees that Gemara and not Gimel seems to say that you don't require Kilei. You're saying there's different ways.
I mean, the Hakamina is that you're high both if you're Machakarta or not Machakarta.
If you're Mishaleach, then you're Chayav.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can read it out. That's true. That's how you can be this view with the Gemara.
Yeah.
But I'm more interested in conceptually what's
I don't know.
This is good. You're reading your background from our readers here. What exactly is going on at this stage of the Gemara, which is good. That is very important. I didn't even think of that. But then comes the conceptual question, right? So why should the Mechayav be satisfied by one of those two things? So Isaac, you want to, or Jonah?
Oh,
very good. So if you take a Geneva shot, you know, say what's going on here is that the animal can't steal on behalf of its owner. So there are two ways to connect the dots to the owner. Either the owner sent it, so it's like the animal is acting under the agency of the bialim. So shiluach mishalche, right? That's why you can be chayav in Torah's Geneva. Or the fact that the owner really benefited from the kili hakeret, right? The animal now he saves a meal or something, and so there's direct hana for the bialim because the animal consumes something and the owner actually gets benefit from that. So that's how you can make sense of the disjunction. Right, it's satisfied by either shiluach or kili hakeret because those are two ways to say that there's like a ma'aseh geneva attached to the bialim. I wonder if you can make sense of this view on the Or Chayav side. I happen to think yes. I don't know what you think. Can you make sense of the?
Not a Yevo
answer. What?
Not a Yevo review.
You guys that second it.
Yeah, exactly. An animal can be acting in a normal way in one of two ways. Either it's following the commands of its bialim, so shiluchah, you sent it there, or it's pursuing its own hana. I'm not sure which one of these, I think.
And then if it's pursuing its own hana, it would have to finish it.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. What?
Otherwise, that's not real.
Yeah, because if it just chews something and spits it out, right? So there's no presumption that it was seeking pleasure, right? Maybe it was just
maybe an intent to harm it or whatever. But if it actually consumes it as a meal, then you know that it was pursuing that up. So you might even say that shame could be satisfied by either our chayu of shilua, which is like a quasi-rego already, or satisfied by our chayu of its pursuit of pleasure. The question is, between these two readings of the Meiri, last couple where we left this as a tzarchiyah, why would there be a disjunctive makayu, either kiliya karen or shilua? So this couple, I think, makes a lot of sense. The question is, between the two theories, the gazela theory and the chayu theory, which one is more... accurate reading of the theory? Do you want to give us?
No.
Can
you just clarify the Zayla theory again?
Yeah, Isaac, explain the Zayla theory.
Basically, you say that what it means to be going to someone else, to find their money for a human. So for you to steal something even without appreciating the principle, if you steal it, and that's one of your animals, here's what you're doing. For your animals, if you steal something, you have to love it really completely.
Is that clear, Noah?
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Now, I just want you to move on to Regel now. Regel is very brief, and that's the clearest, most uncontroversial path. So you fast forward down. Unrelated.
Right, so I'm missing before that we would want symmetry among the three also.
Ah, because we're not looking to support the risk of.
No, but you said that it was nice. You said it when we did that. Okay.
No. I think one of the reasons why we're going through different avos and assessing their characteristics is to see who's right on the debate. Like the risk of approach, that there's one machai but distinct durip, or the different other approach or other according that they're either common Mechayiv, common Keturim, or no common Mechayiv, and no common Keturim.
You're trying to support the sign.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that to the extent that you think that the Ketur versus the Rabin is related to the Mechayiv, so let me say this even sharper than that. To the extent that you think that the Ketur versus the Rabin is related to the Mechayiv, that speaks to Isaac's point, then you're already running afoul of the risk of Rav.
Right.
Right? So to the extent that you think that, for the same reason that you're chayiv nezek shalim versus hamiza, you're pater versus arabid, because it all boils down to foreseeability, then you're already in disagreement with the brisker rabbi. Because he thinks that the tour is totally independent of the chayiv. So just come back to that case, because I didn't answer Isaac's point sufficiently. Isaac's saying on the Gedeva side, you're chayiv versus hamiza for Geneva, your pater versus a rabbin, because the nizak was ifsed anafshe, right? The nizak shouldn't have put his stuff there. On that view, you have a difference between the mechayiv and the ptur. The mechayiv of Shane is Geneva. The ptur of Shane has to do with assumption of risk or something. On the other view, they're both about foreseeability. Right, the Machayev is foreseeability and the Ptur is foreseeability for the Nisak side. Okay. Let me just wrap. I'm going to make one. We've transitioned to Regel now.
Oh, you just have the other gossip piece.
What?
You just have the other gossip piece?
Nah, I'm going to hold off on it for later.
But, okay. Does that play into the discussion of Rechayev and Hanav? Because presumably there's no Hanav there, but animals cannot have.
Maybe it's Rechayev in that case. You're saying maybe it's Rechayev.
Right.
Yeah. Good question. The Achila Gaza case doesn't really come up. The Achila Gaza case doesn't come up in Shane, really. It comes up under Shane versus Arabim, where you'd be punter from Shane, and we just want to know whether you were Nana. That's the discussion with Gemara.
So,
making
assumptions of Pedro.
What?
The assumption of Achila
Gaza is punter. It's not clear. I mean, it might be that you're punter from Shane, but it might be Chayat Bitoras. Shane versus Arabim, say punter. Right. The Rishonim only discussing the case of Rishonim and Mechayev is a few mashanana.
So it's really part of that broader discussion whether the chiyuv hamnah versus the rabbim is a derivative of shein hamnah. I just wanted to point out that on the orchayu side also, I think I mentioned this before, you can explain very nicely why hamnah with a maisa meshuna is keret and not shein. Remember this, we took this for granted. We saw this in the Gemara. The Gemara is in this other pashas. If you achieve hanah b'derech meshuna, that's classified as keren. Why should it be keren rather than shein? If the mechayev of shein is hanah, there seems no principled reason to favor keren over shein. Unless you appeal to some broader rule in Nezikin about why shein should triumph, right? But if you say that the mechayev of shein is really urchayev, and of course, if you pursue hanah b'derech meshuna, that's no longer urchayev. So you can understand why the Gemara takes it as for granted that hanah b'derech meshuna is keren and not shein. So remember, there are two cases in the Gemara of meshuna, hanah b'derech meshuna. One of them is the case over here of daf tesvav, where you have the dog that eats something it doesn't usually eat. That was ochel meshuna. That was Karen. Then the Gemara that Puff talks about the case when the animal does like jumps up in a Rosh Hashanah to get food that it normally eats, but it doesn't normally jump to get it. So it's normal food, but it achieves the food there in Mishuna. And that constitutes Karen as well. So on the Rechayu theory, you have a very nice explanation for why these cases are clearly cases of Mishuna. No, you're liking your
big fan.
Save the best for last.
What?
So you save the best fruit for last.
Yeah. You know, that's good. That's really, you know, it's when you first learn the sugya, it seems more like hana. I think when you go more into it, it seems like it's really archaic.
Since you're Yakir,
no, but I was talking to Yakir. Even Yakir was not sold on it yesterday. But yeah, 100%. I think it's really a very insightful point. Okay, and of course, this explains also why Shane Beregel has similar dinim. It's also worth noting that Shein Beregel are mentioned in the pasuk together. I forgot to put it at the beginning of my poems.
Shein Beregel.
Beregel is the Acher, so what's that? So you can see, even though the Mishnah treats them as separate avos, at least in the Pesukim, let me see if I can. I'm not sure where I put it, but I thought I had. But if you look at the Pesukim, it's in Shmos Chav Beis, Ubir Bisada Acher.
Mary didn't have the Haber, you know, you might like learn out one of them together.
Yeah, a few times, but here, yeah. Umar has the Haber a few times, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. But that works out nicely with a few students, one Mechayev and Borchayev.
Right.
Borchayev with Derech Halitha, or Borchayev with a person who knows. Right, here's the Pesukim. Yager Ish Sadeh Okerem, Vishilach Ez Bihi. So I think Ubir Bisada Acher is Shein because it consumes it, and Vishilach is the Baal of taking it. Based on the pasuk, the implication is that look, it's one Mechayim here. At least it's one pasuk referring to both of them. Whereas Shor is the previous parak of Shmos Chaf Aleph. So to the extent that you think that there's a common Mechayim, makes a lot of sense that they're concerned. I don't know why I put the pasuk there. I should have put the pasuk earlier. I thought I could find it. Okay, good. That's for Shane and Karen. On to Regel. So the Gemara's characterization of Regel is very straightforward. Regel is characterized by his Nigo Matsui. Makes a lot of sense, right? Because anytime the animal walks, it's going to step on things along the way. Gemara has the same characterization on Gimel and Aleph. So Hezekiel Matzoi seems to be, there's no tension in the Mechayev of Regel. It's just very clear what it is, no confusion. Chazanish points out that maybe there's a possibility that every case of Regel could also be a case of Eish. Because let's say Eish is like you light a fire, the wind blows it. So you might say if you put something on your horse and your horse runs,
So that's similar to H. The causation for this exerts a causative that if something falls under the description of a regular, it can't also be described by H. Like the categories of H are necessarily exclusive. So this is regular H is you set the conditions for like some other force to carry it. So you place your horse in one place.
That is the horse.
Well,
so now the horse is the horse now. Meaning,
yeah, then the horse takes its legs, it's at the H. As the wing.
So in the horse would be the equivalent of the
wing. Right, and then its movement is the
water.
Yeah.
Well, it's very weird because like there's always going to be some sort of causality. So like it's interesting that the association is like saying like it's just like taking it one step back. Because that like by purchasing animals that like the like the kinyan is also
what kind of ruach, etc. etc. Right?
Right.
But Asian you set the conditions for some other force to carry the mazik elsewhere. So when you place your shore near somebody's rishos, when the shore carries itself into the rishos, that's like ruach achem, koach achem. We don't have to worry about that for now. So the interesting thing here is the Tazmish thinks that almost as if the categories have to be mutually exclusive. They're disjoint categories. And this is just important. This is almost a combination of Shikasa. There's no like one general mechayiv, and we need to just figure out exactly how to characterize the mechayiv. He thinks that, no, like, there's descriptions in the Torah for what's the proper way to mechayiv for a case of regel. And the case of regel always falls under the chiyuv of regel, can't fall under the chiyuv of ish. So even if like the features of the mechayiv are, or the conceptual features of the mechayiv are similar, nonetheless like the physical description of the case is bound by the Torah's categories. That's going to be important for later on. Obviously, there is going to be a few cases where the boundary between regel and keren is tested. So, for example, the tour in Siman Shin Tzadi talks about a case of kishkisha biznava kederet kolav animals. So, if the animal is wagging its tail as it walks, and the tail causes damage, so vade orkum. If it's like shaking its tail reasonably, like all animals do, that's going to be regular. But what happens with kishkish rab? Like, what if it's like vigorously shaking its tail? So that's a suffix. You have orcha, you don't have orcha. If it's non-orcha, if it's mishuna, it's a totally different character. The Rambam says we're not pushing that suffix. We're not sure. Still a suffix, what happens in that case. So it doesn't seem to be much conceptual disagreement here, but you see that regel is characterized by orcha. If the movement of the animal rises above the level of orcha, then it becomes karen.
John? I was just thinking conceptually, I'm not so sure about this, but to bring it to a completely different realm and try to apply in terms of, when we talk about baltosif, right? So the reason, for example, that blowing more tekiyas on Rosh Hashanah is a problem because we're just doing the same action, just more of it. So then, like, transplanting maybe that logic here. If it's doing a normal action, just slightly faster, could you say
right.
That it's still archaic, it's just like a little bit?
Yeah, so you'll say, okay, so my focus here had to define archaic.
Yes.
Right? Is it like certain acts or like the way those acts are performed? Right. So good, so there's going to be some wiggle room in how to define archaic. But everyone seems to be in agreement that if it's archayu, it's regel.
Yeah.
If it's mishuna, then it's karet.
Right.
Okay? No.
So does that also mean that regel is the default and karet is...
Seems like shein and regel are characterized by archayu, and karet is mishuna.
Uh-huh.
So if that's what you mean by default, then...
Yeah.
remember, in the Taz's sense, it means that if we're not sure how to interpret it, we always go for shein or regel because they're normal. Right.
Is it Taz or Shidata
in the theory for regular? Does he say something explicitly here?
Yeah.
I don't know, I haven't seen any Taz that stands out. So. Where regular gets interesting, though, is really in its toldo. So the Gemara says that, remember the first few blocks, the Gemara is searching for a papa said, the paradigm of Shabbos shows us toldosei and kayote behem, the paradigm of Tumah is toldosei and lav kayote behem. What about Mazikin? Is it like Tumar? Is it like Shabbos? And said, Yesh mehem kayotzi behem, Yesh mehem lav kayotzi behem.
And Gemara's trying to figure out which is the case of told a lav kayotzi behem ha'pesikin.
Gemara settles the kasim has ekshuros. That's this line. Gemara tachilu pikamara halva told the regel. Regel, I we said that it's told us our kayotzi lo. Gemara settles the kasim has ekshuros. The hilchas of yirila.
So what is going on here?
What is going on with Tsuros? So on one hand, it's a told deregel. On the other hand, it's a told deregel shalav kayotzebo. Its halachos are different from regel. So what's, how do you make sense of that? Like, how do you have, what's unique about the category of Tsuros such that it doesn't, it's categorized under regel, yet it's lav kayotzebo. Let me just point out that, I guess we'll come back to this later. We'll find this. Everybody know what the case of the tsuros is? So the classic case of the Gemara, the animal is walking, and kicks up some stones, and those stones cause nezek. That's the classic case of the tsuros. The Mechaber points out that there are other cases. Kishem shechayi b'al, this is in Siman Shem Tzadi. Kishem shechayi b'al koach she'ish b'al manish, she'ed this tsuros. Ka'chayi b'al koach she'ed b'al manish. A horse whines, or a chamor shenoer, the shinru kelim b'koach kola, or a tarnigel shavar kelim b'ruach knafa, or a bird flaps its wings and the wind damages something. Or shekishit rosho la'aver klivetaka, or sticks his head inside a glass thing and it shatters it through its voice. Those are all considered parts of tsuros, because they all emerge from the koach of the animal. That's the general category. Just want to point out that the general case of tsuros is when the tsuros are hefker. The stones that were kicked up are not owned by anybody. If the stones are owned, if I leave my seashell collection or my rock collection, if I leave them somewhere and then if someone else's animal comes and kicks them up, I could be partially chayav because it's really my tsuror. It's almost like a boar. It's like my boar contributed to the. So that's going to be complicated. So you have to remember the classic case of tsuros is when the tsuros are actually hefker. Okay, it's not so important for my analysis right now, but for factually just understand the category, you have to appreciate that. So the general question is what justifies tsuros being a told of rego, yet having different meaning?
Is the Chaver saying that there's no distinction between tsuros and told of rego?
No, he's saying that tsuros doesn't mean like a necessarily physical contact between the tsuror and the. There's not a physical contact through an intermediary physical thing. So it's not because the mazik hits something else, physical thing, which then hits the misa. Even if it's a cult, so it's never shimbo ruach, that could also constitute a tsuror. So non physical tsuros are part of the category. So what do you make of this? Avram, you have strong feelings about tsuros, why it has these strange dinim?
I guess it's like a certain detachment.
It's what?
Like a certain detachment from like the mazik to the actual. Yeah.
And therefore what? Why should it fall in between? Why should it have this strange classification? Shua, you have a... No?
I think I don't know.
What? Sorry, it's mine's in Kharif Kachal. I understand, are you learning the Zigan or are you learning Timur this year? What's going on? Jonah?
So, I think Avram and I spoke a lot about this three times in the Seder about how there's, when we say Tulis and Kiyos, by hand, the Gemara starts off with the Avrina, that the Surah, meaning what the Maisa is perpetrated with, is similar. Oh, like, the Shicha must be Shane. And it says, no, that's different.
Good. So you might say, like I just said for the Chazanish almost,
right.
That what matters is like the physical description.
Right, yeah, it's kicking with this leg, therefore it's part of regal, but the way the damage is perpetrated is, let's say, more of
Shicha. Okay, the problem is, that's a good point. We'll see there's vestiges of that in Rashi. Rashi says, comes from the foot. Right? As pointed out in those cases with Shulchan Aruch, they're not just like cases where they come from the foot.
Right.
The animal screeches or something. That's koach. The animal has nothing to do with regal.
Right.
Okay, so regal is its complicated. But you see, yes, Rashi seems to say that's the physical description.
But it also could be that the fact that...
I just want to point out that's very difficult.
Right.
Because the Gemara Daf earlier said, oh, Neshicha should be a told of Karen.
It's not.
Should be a told of Shane.
Right.
Because they both come from the mouth. And the Gemara said it's not because what matters is the Mechayiv,
right,
not the physical proximity to that part of the body.
Right. Then you could also say...
So why did the Gemara reject Neshicha as a told of Shane and then move to say that Tzuros,
right,
is a told of Rega, right?
Right?
It seems incompatible.
So then you could also talk about Or Chayiv being more conceptual.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, I'm just walking. Like, this is a normal behavior of a normal animal that unfortunately causes damage.
Excellent. So I think Jonah's right that you know, obviously you could say this Karen this way that Rashi seems to phrase it here, that they cross regular dogs too. It's not clear. Rashi says a few things in different places in Sirus Rashi. I think you could say, like your second suggestion, that the Gemara here is saying that it falls under Regel, but it has dinim of Karen. Why is that? Because the mazik of Tzruros is in between a case of Karen and Regel. In what sense? Karen is defined by Maisa Mishuna. Regel is defined by Rechayu. The case of Tzruros, generally, and you can persistify this in a few ways, is a case of... It's less orchayu than Karen, but less orchayu than Rega. It's more orchayu than Karen, less orchayu than Rega. Right? And analogously, it's less mishuna than Karen, but more mishuna than Rega. Right? So. And the Gemara is trying to figure out exactly. So good. So the Gemara is saying, look, the Havamina, what's the Havamina here? The Havamina, according to most Rishonim, and you can see Rashi has this implicitly here, when Rashi says, look up, Lav told of the Karen too. The Havamina is that it would have been a told of Karen. Because it's more Mishuna than Rega. But then the Gemara comes along, and it was part of the Halacha Moshe Sinai, or independent of Halacha Moshe Sinai, it depends on two versions of Rashi. Rashi and Ksugas versus Rashi. But the Gemara says the Havamina is that it's Karen. The Maskana is that it's Rego. Okay. So the Havamina is that it's sufficiently Mishuna Kiregel. The Maskana is that it's sufficiently Orchayu. The Havamina is that it's sufficiently Mishuna Kikaren. The Maskana is that it's sufficiently Orchayu Kiregel. Okay. Then the Gemara is trying to figure out, okay, well, for a case that's in between, which genome of Regel apply and which genome of Karen apply? Right? So that's why the Gemara gets into all these discussions. For example, the Gemara says, well, to what extent is it going to have halachos of Karen, and to what extent it will have halachos of Rega? So for example, the Chachamim hold the Yerchayev Chati Nezek for Tzuros, which is clearly a property of Karen. Right, it's Mishuna, so you couldn't have foreseen it, so you're Potter. Simchus disagrees. And Simchus says you're Chayav Nezek Sholei. Presumably, because Simchus holds that it's Mamish Rego. Right? So Simchus and the Chachamim disagree on the extent to which it's classified as Rego or classified as Karen. The Chachamim have a concession where they say it's Regel but Chatzi Nezek Kikaren. So because it's no, it's Regel and it's Nezek Shalim Kikaren.
Does anyone say that?
What?
Does anyone make that point that it's Regel?
That's the Pashto's name, Shita Simchus. Pashto's. One second, let me just go through the Mishnah theory real quickly. The Gemara and Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, also our Gemara earlier, asks, are you Mishalim in Aliyah or Migufa? Does this part of the Tashlum, and even on the assumption that you're paying Chatzi Nezek, does that have a din of Karen or does that have a din of Rego? That's also a topic, right? Similarly, the Gemara asks the Fi Rabba, Rav Shaila, is there din of Ha'adam? That's only the first time that you get the exception of Kasi Hezek, which is, but apply the Karen Halacha, that you can have Yud. And after you're warned three times, you get bumped up to Nezek Shalik. We apply that din of Karen. The assumption being that the reason why you get a tour of Kasi Nezek is because it's not foreseeable. It's not as foreseeable as Regel. So you get a discount. But then once it becomes foreseeable, you're Chayav Nezek Shalik. Here's how.
Wait, how would you explain it? Should?
What?
How would you explain it's the possible side that there should not be a Regel?
Shinui Litzuros. What happens if the animal walk acts in a way that's even less foreseeable? So it kicks something intentionally, which. So then, should you go even further and say that you pay only a quarter of the nezek? So throughout, the Gemara is trying to figure out which dinim of Karen apply and which dinim of Regel carry the day. This is explicitly the analysis of, for example, the Rashba over here in Daf Yom Amud Beis. So look, for example, the Rashba says, the Gemara's question is, why is it called the Torah told to Regel? Adrava, Tvei Shaycha LeKeren. Da'afu Einu Mishali Melechatzi Nezek KeKeren Tam. Why Regel? Why not Keren? And then next on the line are Papa Eldra Papa Savar, Kivan the Gemiri the told of the Rebbe, the Ilu Midina Avale Lashalim Nezek Shalim Kiregel, the Urche Behachi. Why is it classified as Regel? Because it's Urche. Ella the Padre Rahmana Michati Nezek. You get a discount. So he's explicit that the reason why it's regular is because it's worth it. Right? It's normal for an animal to kick up stones as it's walking. So why do you get the exception? Why do you get the Ptur of Chatz and Hezek? So the Rashi doesn't tell us explicitly. Obviously, that's part of the... possibly part of the Halacha of Moshe Sinai. So the actual Shlomo and the Pnei Yeshua say explicitly why. Like I suggested before... So, Mehai Taima Nami Gabit Suros, Shehimatiza Bekoach, Ein Orche Bekach. It's not orche for an animal to pick up stones as it walks. Mikomakom versus the Rabbi Ptura, why? That explains Hatsi Nezek, it's Ein Orche, so you get a discount. Why you want versus the Rabbi? Meachar Shabahima, Ein Odasmus Bonin, Ulefa'amin Regilalahat is Abad. Sometimes it is normal. So it's pretty clear that the Yamshel Shlomo thinks that Chatzi Nezek is because relative to Regel is Ein Orche, but relative to Keren, it is Regila. And so with respect to the Torah versus the Rabbim, it's sufficiently Regila to make you Pater. With respect to the Mechayim of Nezek Shalem, it's sufficiently Mishuna to give you a discount. If you want to put this in the categories that we developed earlier, you would say, on my analysis, that it's sufficiently mishuna such that the bialim did not have to foresee it, but it's sufficiently orachayu such that a nizak should have realized that this is a possibility when he's nourishes her out. Right, again, assuming that the Ptur, which is the Rabbim, is because then Nizak is supposed to expect normal things to happen. And the reason why he gets Hatsi Nezek is because the violin was not supposed to foresee that would happen. So then the point is that the case of Hatsi Nezek Tsuros is a case where it's sufficiently Rogiel with respect to that Frias and Nizak, but it's sufficiently Mishuna with respect to that Frias and Nazak. Well, that's why it's Lefanim Regila. The animal doesn't check everywhere it's stepping. I thought this is just a way to get to this. I don't see the Oculus learning as being something independent.
I don't know, what's your sense? Shua.
I'm saying that it's not killer, isn't it? Really reduces the in expectations we have about having an example. We have to say, in order to explain that, you have to say that the scope of expectations in the ESAP is wider, it's greater, it's more expectations, and thus scope of expectations.
That's one way of saying it, or you could put it a little more mildly and say that the scope of things that are permissible or just a rapid is wider than the scope of things that you have a prize for. Right. So in Rosh Hashanah, so it depends exactly how you make persistify the Torah Rosh Hashanah. So you might say that you have Rosh Hashanah to allow your animal to kick up stones every now and then, but in Rosh Hashanah, you don't have that license. Yeah, I mean, look, Shua, you're...
The difference between the Shus and Isaac and Shus are not. I mean, it's in your finger trap no matter where he does it, no matter where the animal does it.
Right, what level of achrayus does Orkei translate into? So remember, Chatzimus of Nezek Tzuros is only Chayah versus Anisa. Right, Pata versus Rav, I think Mar says explicitly. That's the character trait of Rego that I guess. Mars was the Bible, does it also get an Aliyah or Mehufa? That's something. But Surah, everything reapplies to Surahs. So why is that? So on the account of Shlomo, on the account of Shlomo's account, so it's more Orche than Karen, less Orche than Regel, and that for somehow fits perfectly into your Chayiv Chatzi Nezek is not foreseeable by the Bible. Yet your Padre versus Rabin, because this is normal with respect to activities of Rosh Hashanah. See that? So Chatzis Nezek Tzuros actually gives us like really good insight into exactly where the Mechayvim fall down. Right? Everyone, I feel like I lost some people on that. No, this is... Let me give you the Pnei Yeshua's formulation. Pnei Yeshua makes a very similar point to Neam Shlomo. Here's what he says. Again, he's trying to figure out exactly why it's somewhere in between here and here. Here's the Lakasha. We divide it by Papa Lomasil Shri, the Karle told the regular Koja Bishasar Rabbi. Bakati Tikshe, the Yeshla Grosso today told the Karen, Kilu Bishalem Smash Kasi Nesakimosa. Why is it more regular than Karen? The Imi Shimta Hide Halvi Niskamakomanu. All our Papa Sphere Lady Kasi Nesak Shal Karen, who got the Mamu Lokas. The Imi Shimta Asani Koach Regel, this was, Jonah's point earlier. And she's a gamkin because she ain't kasi. A few of you go happy for the day. Don't tell me because it comes from the regal. Kima the lab orfe came from the tsuros. Right? Okay, so the shika is lab orfe, that's what it's called. So do I tsuros. Al karaka lab orfe called kaf kimo regal. It's less orfe than regal. And a lab orfe sas. It's a lot of orche. It's an orche, but less than rego.
It's el lot of orche tzas.
El lot of orche tzas, maybe, right? Exactly. So it's not as much orche as rego, but it's orche tzas. So it's very similar to the Yom Shoshana's analysis. And when you have this kind of description, so then you have to figure out which genome of Shane, which DM of Regel come to bear and which DM of Karen come to bear. So in particular with Tur versus Rabin, you have Chatzi Nezek. Again, if it's all about foreseeability, you can understand that. And the Gemara is trying to figure out what about those other DM of Yu, etc. Ha'ada, Shinroy, and Kulit. And then again, Pinchas has this formulation. How about Tsuros, Hamet, Urfa, Negat, Karen? The Imkain, Lo Shai, Klaal, Karen. relative to Karen is considered a perfect. This just works out very nicely to bring together all the different mechayim together. No, you had a point. You know, let me make one point quickly, and then I just thought one very interesting Nafkamina might be.
Nafkamina of what?
One Nafkamina about how much it is cake, orfe, and lav orfe. So we've already seen, right? So obviously the first two Nafkaminas are Surbish Sarabim and Nezek Shalim or Kasi Nezek. I thought this is a very cool case. And again, this is on the assumption of the Taz. That generally, when you're faced with a description of Urche or a description of Mishuna, you go for the description of Urche, right? So what's going to happen when you're faced between choosing between Sruros and Shane? We know that if you're forced between Shane and Karen, right, so it's achieving Hana B'derek Mishuna, what happens? It's Karen, right? I'm sorry. We know that if you have a description that could either be Shane or Karen, you go for the description of Shane. That was the Taz's argument, because Urche, right? You go for the normal description rather than the deviant description. Correct? That can be everyone? Okay. So what's going to happen is we have to choose between the Urche of Shane and the quasi-Urche of Tzuros. Would the Taz's argument still apply? That you always go for the Urche. So here's just an interesting question. There's no, the answer doesn't lie in his tshuva, but it gives us a case that we could ask. So there's a tshuva of the Rimigash, where the question is an animal that defecates on, or it's matil gilalim, on the food, on the peros. And he says, look, according to that Rimigash svara, so it's a case of shame, right? There's a kasha leaf. Other than the complicated regal, the hamash atila gulal and pisa, mishalemes katineze, ama pulled the regal, meaning shame, meaning of truos. If the animal that's mana gulalim on the fruits, it's a case of truos. That's a koa company. The chazir man the part of my kushia. The Amma, that contradicts the Rina Khan on the first paragraph that says not to the level if it's actually told of shame because it gets hung up. So one answer is that the case where it's told of the shame, and immediately hit that the having the well of Lachim, from the Chubar in Bekufa, the Shosus in the Yardim in Kinevi Ramlai in Malateros. Dovya Namina Babazara, Hanita Bakitabre Sibur. If the animal's matu gilalim in a way where there's a direct connection from the animal to the peros, it's like an uninterrupted flow. So it's like he's describing it like the animal has diarrhea or something. So then it's going to be a case of shame because it comes directly to kufa behema. But in the case where it's matu gilalim and shalem is katsi nezek, that's the gulal of yevashim, the low nachli ala isa, and the parshim in kufa shaveim, but dimi the tzuros. So it depends if it's coming mikufa behema or mikoach behema. If it's coming just mikoach behema and it's separate, then it's tzuros. If it's attached to the kufa behema, then it becomes a case of shame. And the shoal here says that's very shver because kishes bonanu behem, kishein hafrish bein lach bein yavish hakol ulan asa. Why should Lach and Yavesh make a difference? The answer doesn't really answer the question, though. It's Chuba's Chaser, we don't really have the answer. So it sounds like the Shoel ends up saying that Shakol, Hula, and Asa really should fall under the description of Shane rather than Surus. Right? Although he leaves a bit Sarafian, but it sounds like his preference that really it should all be Hula and Asa and therefore Shane. So what do you think the answer should be to this question?
How do you know that that case is Suros?
In this discussion?
On the side that it's told their milk?
What's that?
Do you mean it's Suros? As their entire Katsi Nezek. As long as Katsi Nezek, I'm not told to direct you. You talk about
Mara seems to say two different things about taking from theirs line on stuff. So the first part, I think Mara seems to say, is a case of shame. And he's saying, but later on, in the case of the rego, the Mara implies that it's a case of tsuros called the rego. Which is how do we actually have tsura? One's a case where the glolia are still like flowing from the animal. So the gufa behema, that's shame. One's a case where they're separate, so it's a case of tsuros. Like it's like the glolia, not like a rock. And he says, that's fair. Because who cares whether it's connected or unconnected? Either way, you're getting a no, it should be shame.
Sure. In this case, the amount is coming from the mice that have the apples on their hands. That fear that that would really pull down the chain. And
exactly.
It
came a little late for the first half of the hour. Your mind doesn't have a color in the morning, and then you ask Shrekash what's here. You're so social gaming because you're learning powers, and you ask shadows on the Zika. You're learning the Zika, and you can understand. Machlokes Rabbeinu Chananel and Rashi Mishas. Rabbeinu Chananel says Chiddush, we are saying Mechavim to John Stuart Mill, utilitarianism, that since the behema is trying to prevent this tsar, so that's considered hanah, and even though there's no direct connection to the peros that get ruined, since the maisel is lahanasa, you're chayav mishum shein. Rashi Mishas said that's disagreed, though you have to get hanah from the devar hanisa.
So I formulated that as that this shalom.
This is a rach. This is clearly a rach based. That makes sense, right? It's the Rabbi Gash and the rach. They're all coming for the rib. It makes sense that they have a similar
stuff.
So what do you think the right answer to this question is? So, I mean, I think the Shoal's right. On the assumption that we're correct in our description of what's going on and the relationship between Tsuros to Regel on the one hand and Karen on the other hand, and on the assumption that the Taz is generally correct, that you go for the description of Orche rather than Mishuna, then so too here. If it could fall under either Tsuros or Shame, you go for Shame. Because between the two of them, Shame is the Orche Mechayiv, and Tsuros is the Mishuna Mechayiv. That's why Tsuros has Dinim of Karen. Because relative to Shane and Regel, it's Mishuna.
What?
Yeah, I'm great. To the extent this is a good question about the two sigyas, what's the right conclusion? So his conclusion seems to be that they both really are shame. So let's figure out exactly what the steering Mars is. Okay, this is a great way of it's a good nafkamina to it's a good way of bringing out that relative to. Even though the category of Tsuros is not defined by Mishuna, relative to Regel, relative to Regel and Shame is a category of Mishuna. No.
I just think that's like intuitive, if like that's how we're defining Tsuro. Like if the nature is that it is both Mishuna and it's Orkei, so then if something is totally isn't in its totality is Orkei, then like seemingly a default that has to do with Orkei would lean to the
more
work.
Yeah.
Right. Can you just answer simply that you've been developing the idea that Tsuros are sort of not? But can you say that the point is that Tsuros aren't tied to anyone?
Yeah, so if you want to go there, then good. It's a very different way of conceptualizing what's going on with Tsuros. Okay? Until now, I think I was trying to show that the based off the Marshal, based off the Pnei Yeshua, based off the Lashon HaRashba, the reason why it has categories of both Karen and Regel is because it falls in between the general description of Orphic versus Mishuna. Right? So it's like a riot to like the way we're describing the categories until now. There is another way of understanding what's going on with Tsuros. And I want to point out that Tosfos actually has this. Tosfos doesn't say what the Machai is, but Tosfos says that the happening of the Gemara is not to say that Regel is a tolda of Karen, and then the Gemara that Tsuros is a tolda of Karen, and then it pivots to say that it's a tolda of Regel. Rather, the happening of the Gemara is half a god the dumb in the Regel, kivan shadina chal achayel the gross or shame b'fnei asma. Just a really different happening of the separate av of Tsuros. Not like the way we were analyzing until now. So Isaac was saying maybe there's a new category of koach for this came up. So it's possible that that's a different way of describing Chazinezek Tsuros. This dog is, this could be the, obviously the tension within Chazinezek. So I want to point out that it's very possible that the Rambam has a different conception than the one we've described until now. This is the Rambam in Parashat Shnayos and Perek Beis. Now the Rambam here tells us that there are two cases of Chatzinezek. Look how he describes the two cases. Ayikar b'chol asuga zeman amizik and mizakin shekol nezek abami b'meah b'heimla b'eisha asa v'ashe darka lasos kamid o al harov v'zeh she'omim alav k'darka b'shalim nezek shalim. If it's foreseeable, typical behavior, nezek shalim. V'shelo k'darka. Category 2. Who should you hate also a dumb or shasa? You know, also a little bit meat. Okay. So it's a strange activity or a rare activity. Oh, now is this 2A or is this 3? Shasa had dumb or behem so is pula acheris. It did it through the mediation of some other action. The low haisa ha behema, he ha poelas also had dumb or pula yeshira. The animal wasn't the cause. But zeh chayim chati nezek. Zeh chati nezek shechayim v'suros and he tells us mitachas rabbeha. So the Rambam says their case of nezek shalim is when it's darka. Two cases of chati nezek. One when it's a mishuna davar, it's a osteb in miyuto. It's a rare thing. The second thing is when it does it through something else. My reading of the Rambam is that the Rambam is talking about two separate mechayim of chati nezek. There's one mechayiv of davar she'osel b'miyuto, and a totally separate mechayiv of a davar she'osel yidei pe'ula acheres. So the animal doesn't cause the damage; it's the animal in conjunction with the tzror which causes the damage.
Could you read that one more time?
So I'll show you. I'll put it on here. My reading is that this is one category shelo kedarka, right? Goes till here. And then there should be like an implied comma. Here, ocean has a double bam, so it's full of hairs, boys, blah, blah, blah.
It's not a statement of kedarka.
Exactly. It's not a subcategory of mute. The Rambam is not just saying if the animal doesn't do something else, and that implies that it's typically a double or shows it in mute.
But if you just read it as one statement of different ways to achieve shalom kedarka, it doesn't say very well if you're not doing it on the it says what the mu'ad and what is summarized in animal damages or if it's a caragil or
I think the Rambam paskens that there's no mu'ad for chatzinezek tsuros.
No, understood, but I'm saying it's still yeah, but that's just because he thinks fundamentally there we can dark over it's chatzinezek tsuros.
Definitely the Rambam. I think the Rambam, that description
I'm saying this just feeds into the Akir's ulti point. Now, the Rambam, the important point in determining nezek versus chatzinezek is just whether or not it's kedarka and other factors really part of the consideration. Because you're just saying there's more ways.
That was like the first hour. That was like the first half hour of the chabura that we spoke about.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's not a good point though. I'm just saying if you read it as two different ways to achieve shalom kedarka, then it fits in perfectly with that. That's Rambam, the only determiner of chatzinezek is that shalom kedarka.
Well,
here there's two different ways to arrive at shalom kedarka.
Right. So
that's the contrast that he's saying. That's a darka.
Yeah.
And the concluding word is bizarre high chatzinezek that you should have been made.
Yeah. Also true.
Okay, so if you think that this diak is good, the zeh chai of chatzinezek, I wonder if you have to figure out if the word bezeh can mean like these. I don't know if zeh or.
Forget the jail. Forget the jail.
I'll have to look at different translations, yeah.
The complicism is important. It's just hard to remember. No word for this complicism. The complicism would be very important in terms of behavior that is dealing with.
Right.
I mean, there is a problem that you share with the compliance, I hope, but it's also not original to the other
side.
Whoever put in the
complicism. Okay, so we have to look at this Rambam. If the Rambam is saying they're both Shlok and Arka, then the Rambam's analysis collapses to the analysis of the Marshal and the Yeshua. That was thinking about Chatzinezek Tsuros is just that it's less kedarka, right? I think it's strange that the Rambam had to get into Al Yidei Pu'ul Acheres and flesh it out as a separate category. So you have to think about these two separate kinds of models. Okay, so in any event, we'll stop here. We'll pick up on Monday with, I want to do Bor and H together on Monday, and hopefully that'll conclude our discussion of the Arba Avos, and we'll move on to our next topic.
Shwaya.